Right about now, and I think probably all of you are in this same boat, but if you're like me, you really are. You are starting to be inundated by them. You receive them online, in your emails. You receive them on Facebook, if you're on Facebook. You receive them by snail mail. You receive them, many of them, probably every week. What am I speaking of? Invitations. Invitations. I've recently received invitations to 3 banquets or dinners. I have received invitations to several weddings. I don't know if you get these little things. Save that date. Anybody get those? Save that date. I've received save that date for 2 summer weddings. Invitations to follow. I've even received, I'm telling you, 5 or 6 in the last 2 weeks, invitations to retirement planning sessions. And 1 or 2 to how to make the most of your Social Security. I mean, when you turn 39, they just start rolling in. You know, I mentioned that to my son Jeff, and he said, Dad, yesterday, he said, Dad, I hate to tell you something, but you're kind of off on your age. He said, you know, you're only 38, Dad. I said, oh, I forgot. Bless you, son. Bless you, son. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. We'll settle this after church. And now the invitations are going to start for graduation. For graduation, right? We'll start getting them. And you know, on a lot of the invitations that you receive, and a lot of those Social Security ones and everything, they have these little letters. RSVP. RSVP. We all know basically what that means, right? They want you to respond, and they want you to tell them what your intentions are. Are you going to come, or aren't you going to come? But you know, where did RSV come from? RSVP come from? Some of you know. It came from the French. You know when it started? Back in the 1890s, the Frenchmen started putting on their invitations, RSVP, which means, respondez, s'il vous plaît. Pretty good, huh? Respondez, s'il vous plaît. And that's what they, RSVP. What it means is what? You know, respond, will you, you idiot? No, that doesn't mean that. It means please reply, please respond. And today, I'm going to tell you, with the cost of weddings, wedding receptions, some going up into, believe it or not, into the hundreds of thousands of dollars, I mean, people want to know, are you coming? I mean, they're going to send out, we're inviting 250 people. If only 150 show up, we don't want to have to pay for those other 100 that don't show up. So RSVP, that's very important today when it comes to weddings. Well, this morning in our text of Scripture, turn to Matthew 22. We're going to look at an invitation that goes out to a wedding and a wedding reception. And the responses of those who were invited. Now, remember the background of Matthew 22. Remember, Jesus had ridden in a couple days before into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And he was proclaiming himself to be what? Messiah the Prince, Messiah the King. He comes into Jerusalem. He cleanses the temple. He kicks out the money changers, overturns the tables. And the religious leaders didn't like that too much, huh? So you remember last week, Jesus, they come and confront Jesus. And the religious leaders, you remember they questioned and rebelled against the authority of Christ. By what authority you do this, Jesus? They said. They refused to repent. They refused to turn their lives around. They said, well, we're good enough. We don't need that stuff. We don't need that Christian stuff. We're a pretty good person. And so they refused to repent and turn to Christ. And they rejected him. He came to his own. His own received him not. They rejected him. And you remember what Jesus did. Jesus showed their heart. He showed the treachery which was in their heart by giving them some parables. Remember last week? The parable of the two sons. The parable of the landowner and the wicked tenants. And this morning in chapter 22, he gives them another parable. Another parable. And he speaks it to these religious leaders. And on your outline, number one, this is the parable of the royal wedding feast. The parable of the royal wedding feast. And in verses 1 through 6, he sends out invitations to this wedding feast and the responses. Look there at verse 1. Jesus spoke to them, that's the religious leaders, again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Now, folks, in that day, a wedding feast was the highlight of all social activities. This was highlight, a wedding feast. And a couple would be united in marriage, and then there would be a week-long series of meals and festivities. It would be the wedding feast. Now, a wedding feast that was given by a king, prepared by a king for his son, that would be, folks, the occasion of all occasions. This represents the ultimate celebration. This represents the ultimate social event, the biggest party you could throw, a king throwing a wedding feast for his son. You know, when I thought about that, I thought about what happened 3 years ago on April 29th, 2011. Almost last Sunday, it had been 3 years. You remember what happened? There was a royal wedding. Remember that? Anybody awake here this morning? Does anybody remember that? Who got married? Yes, Prince William and Kate Middleton went and were married at Westminster Abbey. And that was a big, big event. But just imagine this. I want you to imagine this. 3.5 years ago, you get something in the mail. And it is an invitation from the Queen of England to come to the royal wedding. You are invited to come to Prince William and Kate Middleton are going to be married, and we want you to be there. And we want you to come to the reception at Buckingham Palace after the wedding. And we know this might be a little hard on you, so we have included airline tickets. And we know you're going to have to be put up someplace in England, so why don't you just stay with us at the palace? Wouldn't that be something? Would you go? There's some of you guys out there from that would be good. I'll tell you, I'd go. I mean, what an honor that would be, wouldn't it? I mean, the Queen, I'm gone. What an honor. And that's what this is about. But what if she put down there, RSVP? I'd send it back right now. I'm coming. I'm coming. And if I wouldn't send it back, my wife would have sent it back. We're coming. We're coming to that event. Well, in our story, the king gives a wedding feast for his son. Invitations are sent out. And when it came time for the royal wedding feast to take place, he sent his slaves out to call all those who had been invited. But look at the end of verse 3. They were unwilling to come. Isn't that something? They were unwilling to come. When Jesus was telling this story, and when people heard that, you know what happened? They went, "You've got to be kidding me. What? They've got to be crazy. They've got to be crazy. I mean, nuts. You've got to be kidding me. To refuse to attend a royal wedding would make no sense. Why would anyone in their right mind refuse to attend?" But they did. They did. Again, he sent out other slaves saying, "Tell those who have been invited, behold, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready to come to the wedding feast." This king is very patient. He's very slow to anger. And when they initially refused to come, instead of saying, "Okay, you don't want to come? Heck with you guys. You're jerks anyhow. I don't want you to come." No, he didn't do that. He sends out other slaves though to invite them to come in. He almost pleads with them. "Come to the wedding. Guys, come to the wedding. Come on." You know, at a royal wedding, there would be the best food, the best entertainment, the best wine, the most lavish environment. Everything was ready. The food was prepared. He killed the fattened ox. They were going to have filet mignon. They were going to have steaks. I mean, it's going to be good. Come to the wedding feast. But look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his own business. When they received the invitation and the day came for the wedding, they treated it as business as usual. "I got something to do. I gotta go to work." Just business as usual. They treated it as no big deal. "We're too busy. We got things to do." And you know, again, the listeners are like this. "You gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me. You mean you'd respond that way to an invitation to a royal wedding and feast?" They were shocked. They were shocked. But if you think that's shocking, look at verse 6. "And the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them." What in the world are they thinking? Why would they respond like that? Their response to the king's invitation to a royal wedding was, first of all, "I'm not coming." Others said, "You know what? I'm too busy. You know, I got things to do, you know? I got my job, and I'm too busy." And others, the messengers that brought the invitation, they killed them. I mean, folks, that's horrible. That's terrible. So look at the king's response to their response. Look at verses 7 through 10. But the king was enraged. Can you blame him? He was enraged. Here he is trying to be kind and bless people, and they turn around and dishonor him and disrespect him and his son. They kill his messengers, and I'm going to tell you what, he's ticked off. Can you blame him? Mm-mm. The king was enraged, and he sent his armies, and he destroyed those murderers, and he set their city on fire. But then what to do? What do you do now? Verse 8, then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite them to the wedding feast. Verse 10, those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. Her name was Nicole Contos. This happened several years ago. She planned a wedding and a wedding reception. And guests, 250 guests were invited. The wedding was to take place in Manhattan, New York City, Manhattan. Nicole showed up. 250 guests showed up. But the groom never showed up. He went to Tahiti, where they had planned to honeymoon. What to do now? There she was, with a wedding reception that had cost $100,000. What do you do now? She did the only thing that she could do. She said, the food is ready. The drink is ready. We're going to have a party. And they had no wedding, but they had a wedding reception. Folks, that's kind of like what this king says. He says, you know what? The food's ready. The party's ready. But we don't have any guests. So go out into the streets and invite anybody and everybody. I don't care if they're good or bad. Just invite them to come. And so they did. And the banquet hall was filled. But look at verses 11 through 13. There's a dinner guest there without a wedding garment. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. Now, folks, at first sight, that kind of looks maybe kind of harsh. You remember, they went out into the streets and they asked these people to come in. They're coming right off the streets. You know, and he's saying, where's your wedding garment? Why aren't you dressed appropriately? But the fact is that all the other guests were in proper attire, clothed with wedding garments. And that suggests that the king provided the garments for all to be clothed appropriately. Did you get that? Most commentators that I read said, you know, kings, when they threw a banquet or threw a wedding feast, they not only invited you, they gave you clothes to wear. But this guy obviously refused the clothing. And he came into the wedding improperly dressed. Our church, every month, first Monday of the month, goes down to the Haven of Rest. Tomorrow night, remember? Tomorrow night, if you'd like to come down, come on down. But there's something you need to know. The Haven of Rest, in their worship service, They have a dress code. They do. You cannot come to that service in shorts or cutoffs or a tank top. Can't come to the service in one of those. I've heard him say, you know, they say, I've heard the fella, and I forget what his name is, but Louis, he's up there and he looks out over and he says, you know what, we have a dress code to come to this service. You can't wear shorts, you can't wear cutoffs, you can't wear tank tops. You know why? Because we've come here to worship the King. And we need to give God our best. So you can't come like that. You might say, well, Pastor, Ernie, that seems harsh. How can they? These guys are coming off the street. And you know what, folks? That would be really harsh if there weren't something else. Because when you come in there, they say, we want you at the service, and here's some clothes to wear. And they give you new clothes. They give you long pants. They give you a nice collared shirt. They want you to come. And you can come and get spiritually fed. And then you go downstairs to the banquet downstairs and get physically fed. But you got to be dressed appropriately. And that's just what happened here. See? This guy comes in and he says, you know what? My clothes will do. And he comes into the banquet. No, we'll give you clothes. Here's clothes to wear. No, I'm going to wear my clothes. And the King comes in and says, how'd you get in here? How come you don't have wedding garments on? And the man was what? Speechless. Speechless. There was no excuse. The result, look at verse 13. Then the King said to his servants, bind him hand and foot and throw him out into the outer darkness, in that place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. This man, folks, listen, was permanently expelled from the presence of the King and the King's people, and he would experience perpetual, eternal remorse. Well, what does it all mean? The meaning, number two, the meaning of the parable. We're told this parable is a parable of the kingdom of heaven. The rule of Jesus Christ in this world and in our lives, and the blessings of knowing and fellowshipping with Christ. The King, it's no doubt, is God the Father. The Son is Jesus Christ. The wedding feast represents the blessings of knowing Jesus in a personal relationship and fellowshipping with Him. The invitation to come to God's kingdom, come into the kingdom, come to the wedding feast, went out first to the Jewish nation, His chosen people. The Jews had already been called by God. Come to the feast! Come to the feast! God sent His servants, the prophets, the New Testament apostles and prophets, inviting people to come into His kingdom. But the Jews, for the most part, were unwilling to come. They ignored the invitation. When Christ came, for the most part, they went on with business as usual. They even rejected and persecuted God's messengers, God's servants, and put many of them to death. And you remember verse 7 says the king was enraged and he sent his armies and destroyed those murders and set their city on fire. 70 AD. AD 70. General Titus, the Roman commander, came down, destroyed the city of Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, burned the city, killed 1,100,000 Jews and threw their bodies over the wall. Then went through Palestine and killed hundreds of thousands more Jewish people. In verse 8, well, in Acts, you can put this verse down, Acts 13:46. When the Jews rejected the kingdom, the invitation then was extended to everyone who wants to come. In Acts 13:46, Paul and Barnabas said to the Jews at Antioch, listen to what they said to the Jews. It was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you, but since you rejected it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we now turn to the Gentiles. You've judged yourself unworthy. Remember what the king said about those people that rejected the invitation? They're unworthy. Paul said it in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe, to the Jew first, then also to the Greek, then also to the Gentiles. God, listen folks, God has now put out an invitation to everyone. To everyone, the whole world, come to the wedding feast. Come to my son's banquet. Come enjoy the son. It's out to everybody. And I'll tell you what, listen to this. When God throws a party, it's the best party in town. You can't get any better party than when God throws a party. And he's throwing a party. And nobody is left off the invitation list. You say, but Pastor, you don't know how bad I am. You don't know what I've done. You know what? The invitation went out to what? The bad and the good. The bad, the porneiros. And the good, the agathos. You see, I'm pretty good. I am good. Yeah, but you've been invited to a wedding. You reject that, and I'll tell you what, you're going to be regretted for eternity. But you can't be too bad. You can't be too bad. See, he says, come to my wedding. Come to the wedding feast. The invitation goes out to everyone. Everyone. It goes out to the bad and the good. It went out to the woman at the well, the bad Samaritan. It went out to Nicodemus, a religious good man. Come. Come to the wedding feast. But what about this guy that was there, that was found at the feast dressed in inappropriate clothing? This represents those who say, I will come, but I'll come dressed in my own righteousness. I think I'm good enough to be here in the kingdom. I think I'm good enough to be invited to this thing, and I'm coming dressed in my own righteousness. And guess what? All our righteousness and all our goodness is like what? Filthy rags. It'd be like going to a wedding dressed in rags, filthy, dirty, muddy, grimy rags. How many people would go to a wedding like that? Well, today, that people don't know what appropriate is. That's not appropriate. I don't care. You go to a wedding, you see people in shorts, and you see people in dirty clothes, and you see they stink. I don't care what you say. That's not appropriate. It's not appropriate. And it'd be like us saying, you know what? I'm good enough to get into God's kingdom. I'm good enough to go to heaven. Look at my clothes here. Filthy rags. That's what they are. They're filthy rags. You say, but you know what, Pastor? I don't have good enough clothing to go to God's feast. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've blown it. I'm a mess. No matter. No matter. God will give you clothes. God will give you clothes. That's the thing. He invites us to come. He sends out the invitation. He said, listen, my son died for you on the cross. He rose from the grave. Receive him. Turn from your way. Turn going your way. Your way is a dead end. Turn from going that way. Go God's way. And believe on Christ, and you've received the invitation. And no matter if you have clothes or not, come just as you are. Because I'll give you clothing. And you know what he does? When you receive Christ into your heart, he robes you with righteousness. He clothes us in the garments of salvation. Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah 61:10. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God, for he has clothed me in the garments of salvation. He has wrapped me in the robes of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with garland and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. God's given me the clothing. He supplied. That's, you know what? That's what Paul says over in Philippians chapter 3. Remember in Philippians 3, 7 through 9, he says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ, I count them all but rubbish. All those things are dung. That I may be found in him, not having the righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. We need to get into heaven, to get into the feast, and to start enjoying the Son of God. You need his righteousness. And when you accept Christ, you are robed in the righteousness of Christ, and you're ready for the feast. But I'm going to tell you what, you try to get in your own righteousness, and God will come and say, you know what, how'd you get in here? How'd you get in here? Where's your wedding garment? And you and I will be speechless, no excuse. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. See, it's his righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? It's his righteousness. That's the garment that God can supply you and me, and does supply you and me, through faith in Christ. Now, application. Application. What does it all mean to us? You are invited to a royal wedding.
What
time is it? We're getting out of here. You're invited to a royal wedding.
Glory.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen. Praise God. We are invited. The invitation has gone out. RSVP. RSVP. Respondez. S'il vous plaît. Respondez, s'il vous plaît. Respond. Are you coming? Are you coming? To refuse to come, to ignore the invitation. I tell you, you do that, you're crazy. I'm telling you, I don't mean to offend anybody, you're dumb. You are the you're the greatest fool of all. You're the greatest fool. Respondez-vous, s'il vous plaît. RSVP. I mean, to reject the invitation is the most grievous of all errors. You've got to respond. Secondly, again, and I love this, and I appreciate this more and more, all are invited, both good and bad. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done in life. You are invited to the wedding. The invitation goes out. Listen. Listen to this. Your name's on the invitation. And I don't care what you've done. And you've done things that your parents don't know that you did. And you've done things that your pastor doesn't know that you did. Guess what? Your pastor's done things that you don't know that he did. And don't be talking to my kids either. Or my wife. But you know, the invitation goes out. It's to everybody. Nobody's too bad. Come to the wedding. And then thirdly, God will supply you the proper clothing. If you accept the invitation, this is so beautiful. He takes our rags, the rags of your life, he takes those and he supplies to you the righteousness of Christ. By his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become to us the righteousness of God. He gives you, he decks you out. As the young people will say, you will be swag. Isn't it swag? How's your swag? You'll be. You're right. You're ready. When you're clothed in Christ, oh, the joy of that party. It's the biggest thing in town. It's out of this world. And you're invited by the King. RSVP. Today. Respondez, s'il vous plaît. Are you coming? Lord, we bow before you. Thank you. What an honor. What an extreme honor it is to be invited by the King of the universe to the celebration of the Son. Lord, oh God, and what a mistake to let that invitation go by. To refuse it, to act like it's no big deal. Lord, forgive us. God, those of us that have received that invitation and we RSVP'd and said, yes, Lord, I want to come. I'm coming. Lord, excite our hearts with that. Oh God, what a joy it is to know you. What a joy it is to have eternal life and to fellowship with you day by day. Lord, there's no greater gift, no greater party that ever could be thrown than to know you. And Lord, even the best is yet to come because the wedding feast is still there in heaven. Oh, Jesus. Lord, there are those here today. The invitation has gone out. They need to RSVP this morning. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come upon those lives, that you would show them what you have done for them. Show them, Jesus, your death on the cross for their sins. Make it real to them. Show them, Lord, that you are a living Savior, that you came out of that tomb. Help them to turn around from going down the dead end of their life without Christ and to turn to the way of the Lord and believe and be saved. Accept that invitation today. I pray that you would help them to RSVP at this altar this morning. Well, that's our prayer. Lord, you have to do the work. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. God's people said, amen.